How's it? I'm Keenan Williams, and this is Season 3 of the Social Impact Podcast as we zoom into the African continent to hear the stories of some incredible people from different walks of life, as well as cultures, complexions, nationalities, and tribes. Each have different experiences of living on the African continent, and each story tells of what it truly means to be an African. A reminder that if you haven't yet, go and subscribe to the channel you're listening to us on for updates, as well as to follow us on all forms of social media at KWM Socials. This is the Social Impact Podcast on kwmedia.life. If you have ever done history focused on South Africa, you may have heard terms such as Group Areas Act. Now, the Group Areas Act was the title of three acts of the Parliament of South Africa enacted under the apartheid government, which was passed back in July 1950 and repealed in 1957. Now, the acts assigned racial groups to different residential and business areas in sections that they called urban apartheid. Now, this brought about the establishment of new communities and the development of townships in some instances, as people were moved and sometimes families were split apart, as some would be classified as one race while another member of that same family would be classified as another race because of the complexion of the skin. Maybe it's darker or lighter, or the texture of the hair. So families would be split up. So it was a very, very sad state of affairs. Now, fast forward that to 1994, when South Africa had its first democratic election and certain freedoms were granted to its citizens, it still left many people imprisoned, even up until today, in a mindset of I can't move around in certain spaces and places, or even leave the area, the community, or the township I was born in. Now, today, as we continue our focus on Africa, I meet up with high school educator Merville Marcus, who is originally from Ravensmead, a community which had resulted due to the Group Areas Act. People at that time were moved from places such as the Akkers, Skilpad Vlei, Paro Valley, up to the point in 1974 when Tier Vlei was cut up and Ravensmead was established. Merville, thanks so much for chatting to me today on the Social Impact Podcast. Tell me, what is your African story?
My African story originates from the day that I was born. And I was born in an era where apartheid was still in full force. With this, the mindset that the apartheid era has governed us with made me believe that I only live in this one particular place where I grew up, in Ravensmead. And for quite some time, I only knew Ravensmead. And when I grew older, I realized that going out with my school and with my church group, there's more places than just Ravensmead. So my knowledge of the geography of my place had been obscured by the decision of keeping us in one place. And that mental exercise had been executed by my parents because they were kept in one place. But as we grew older, we realized that we can move more towards other places. And it's so funny to understand that I'm 32 years old. I'm turning 32 this year. And there's still places in Cape Town that I still don't know because of me being out back. And my generation and the generation before me will help back. The funny part is that with this, you know, withhold of information and accessibility, I still only know what I know and where I live and where I work. That's it. Furthermore, to go out to other places is a challenge because it's either too far, or it's either difficult to get there, or you don't have a car to get there, you can't use public transport to get there, because currently the transport system is not working as it should.
Now, Mervil, earlier I mentioned that you grew up in Ravensmead. What were some of the difficulties and challenges you had experienced while growing up and living in Ravensmead? And maybe also just tie in some of those fond childhood memories of yours.
I grew up in Ravensmead. And the challenges that I experienced there was that there was a mixture between rich, middle income, and poor. Let's not say rich. Let's just say those who can afford it, those who barely can afford it, and those who can't afford it. That's moving from a high to a low. And I was always in between. The challenges that we had was that both my parents worked at the hospital, Tigerberg Hospital, and they earned very little. Let's say around about, with a both gross income of less than 7,000 to 8,000 rand a month. And with the challenges that they had of buying a house, maintaining a family, you know, putting us through school, it was strenuous because it took us to an extent to what we can purchase and what we can't purchase, what we can have and what we can't have. And it was quite difficult, you know, but we always had. We always strive for the best. My fondest moments, wow, I was a naughty bugger. My maat my geslaan, jong, dat ek jou dit sê. You know, there was a time in sub A or sub B, my mother came to bring me some food. She went to Pi City, the Sanlam Center, and she came to our school for into premier. And this was close to going home time, but it was like second interval. And she came home and to school, and she brought this pie from Pi City, and she said, "Here's your lunch." And when I saw my mother, I couldn't stop crying, and I wanted to go home with her, and I went home with her. Here's another story going back to creche. I used to run away from creche because creche was like 4 or 5 houses, say 6 houses away from where I live. And I ran home. I literally ran home. I ran away from creche. And I grew a little bit older, got into cartoons, Spider-Man, and I took my mother's wool. And I went into a room and I made these spider webs with the wool, and the wool was expensive. If you understand the texture of wool and the price of it, is expensive. And I made a spider web in our whole room, and she couldn't come in and I couldn't get out. It was a whole situation, so I had to jump out the window, and she whooped my you know what I want to say.
I do understand what you want to say there. Mervil, looking at South Africa presently, living in South Africa presently, what do you feel are some of the difficulties we are experiencing as a country?
The difficulties in living in South Africa right now is as follow. I earn more than my parents ever earn in their life in 1 year. If I can make, maybe I'm exaggerating, but you know, I'm just giving you an idea. I earn on an average salary before, my gross salary, not before, but my gross salary is around about 24,000. After tax is 16.5. And currently in South Africa, as a educated young professional, I can't afford to buy a house. I cannot afford to buy a house on my own. I need a partner's income. Life has become more difficult and more expensive. It's no longer color that divides us. It's color and economic differentiation that divides us. I cannot move forward in life because no matter what you do, you earn too little. It's not enough that you earn a lot. I'm not making sense right now, but just understand that for me to be educated in this time, this day and age, I cannot purchase a house without tremendous sacrifice. The difficulties as well is that South Africa is becoming poor. Majority of South Africa's people, they are becoming more and more poor. They are unable to rise above their circumstances. Why? Because the lack of education, the lack of reading, writing, critical thinking skills have deteriorated. Because just 30 to 40 years ago, that same poor community didn't look the way it looks now. And it's a problem. Because I am teaching the current children, the current generation that comes out of our poor community. And that same people that grew up 30 to 40 years ago, they can tell you a different story the way they grew up. They had food to eat. There was enough. But look, I'm not saying they were rich or not, but they could survive better than what they're surviving now. It's difficult to understand that South Africa is not moving towards growth. And the growth is only subjected to a particular amount of people or a sector or a field or a group of people controlling it. On that same question on the difficulties in living in South Africa is that our people are ignorant. I say this with love and respect, but our people are ignorant. Let's move from a bottom-up approach. Let's move from the community upwards. Most of our communities now currently under the lockdown, they are still moving about knowing that there's a virus that's harmful towards us. And I understand they are poor and they need to work and everything. But how are we going to survive? And it's that same people who render my services towards their children, to educate their children. And their children come out of their community broken. So, how do we fix our community? First is the question that we need to get to. And that is the difficulty that South Africa is going through. That arrogance, that you cannot tell me what to do attitude is the difficulty at the moment.
Now, Mervil, this is a question I've asked many of our guests over the past couple of days, but what do you think we can do differently as a continent to better our socioeconomic standpoint, the health sectors, and something I'm sure you're very passionate about, education?
What we can do better regarding our socioeconomic situation. Let's talk about politics. We all know the line. Our politics are not truthful. They're not transparent, even though they say they are. In Africa, it's ever so evident to see that politicians are untruthful. They have blindsided people. Look at Robert Mugabe. Look at what's happening in Congo. Look at what's happening in Nigeria. You know, there are dictators taking over. You know, and it's difficult to unite Africa because everyone has a superior and an inferior group. And these clashes are what keeps us divided. Regarding our health, I mean, South Africa has one of the best health systems in the world. But it's not being executed as such. Look at all the major hospitals. They are deteriorating. Government hospitals are deteriorating. Regarding our economic situation, most of the people are dependent on a social grant. They do not want to work because they are dependent on a social grant, which is not, it's not supposed to be like that. Our people are not innovative. They are waiting for a higher force to come in and tell them what to do. So what's the point of education? Education is free, but how effective is our education? That's a lot of, and it's not just here in South Africa, it's across the board. Up until the equator, or at least, what I can say, south of the Sahara, But north of the Sahara Desert, why are they having a better lifestyle than us? Why are they divided from us? And we are all African. From the north to the south, we are all African, no matter what you say and how you say it. I'm an African as much as an Egyptian is an African. In addition, what we can do different is to eliminate all fraudulent type of behavior and actions within all governments. Let's incorporate our normal people into our government so that we can have a bottom-up approach and a top-down approach. We need to eliminate this poverty circle mindset that we have, that we must wait for a higher force. That is what we need to eliminate. If our people take education seriously, we can take it further. But because they go to school, but they enter school the same way they leave school, if we can eliminate this mental blockage that we have of waiting for people, we need to be more innovative. And our government, what I can say is our previous government had grip. They could demand the best out of us. Look at the previous schools. Look. Let's just take a step back. The people who couldn't afford to go to school or were not able to go to school are now our seniors of today. For instance, my uncle, he's a builder, but he's more educated with his Standard 2 certificate than a matriculant of this current day and age. What's the difference between the two? And he can't read and write as a current matriculant of today. He can do his measurements. He can do his ratios to perfection. Where our current young people can't even think out of the box.
Lastly, Mervil, to you as Mervil Marcus, what is an African?
To me, an African is the individual that live in the continent of Africa, which is differentiated by his or her culture, religion, background, situation, location. But an African is one person. Just like one drop, an African fills an ocean, because we are one body. We are one embodiment. That is an African. Someone who is in connection to his or her location. Because we all breathe. We all eat. We all move forward. We all dance. That is an African. And we all share one sun. The African sun covers us all.
That's South African high school educator there, Mervil Marcus. Mervil, thanks so much for joining me on the Social Impact Podcast today and for sharing your African story. Tomorrow we hear another African and their exceptional personal story. Reminder that if you haven't yet, go and subscribe to our podcasting channel. It's the channel you're listening to us on at the moment, and to share it with your friends and to visit our website, kwmedia.life, to listen to other podcasts. You can also follow us on all forms of social media at KWM Socials. So, from myself, Keenan Williams, keep rocking SA. Bye-bye.